Wasn't sure if Brother Jim was going to get up and say anything or not. I told him, let me know when to get up, and he smacked me on the knee, so here we go. God is great, ain't he? I'm glad he got a hold of me one day and shook me real good and just made me finally wake up and just answer him and do what he said to do. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. That's where we're going to start this morning. First, just like I say, I'm thankful for being asked to preach, thankful for a church that will let me. God calls you to do something. He also gives you a desire to do it. And it sure means a lot when you get a chance, because here lately, you get to praying and studying, things kind of get bottled up, and you sure do want to let them out. So this morning, I really can't tell you whether I'm nervous or excited, but I'm ready to tell you what he gave me anyhow. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love and keep my commandments. Lord God, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. God, I thank you for the calling of my life. Lord, I don't feel worthy, but God, I thank you for it. Lord, it's a blessing just to be able to tell people about you. Lord, I just ask that you just use me this morning. God, just settle my nerves. Lord, just help me to do what you called me to do. Lord, help me do it with excitement and happiness, Lord, and bring joy to the church. Lord, most of all, help us just bring glory and honor to you, Lord, and just point your people to you. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for this church. Lord, I thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all, lately, I want to talk to you about faith this morning, because lately, things I've been dealing with, time and time again, I've been talking to people and they've been telling me, well, faith's a hard thing for me. Faith's a hard thing for me to have. And what God's been showing me and dealing with me, you know, faith's not a hard thing for people to have. What we put our faith in is what the problem is. It's not whether we have faith or not. We have faith. I believe everybody in here can agree they have faith this morning. How many of you in here can say you got an alarm clock? How many of you set that alarm clock to wake you up to go to work? You got faith to believe that alarm clock's going to wake you up. How many of you get a headache and take Advil? You got faith to believe that when you take them to Advil, the headache's going to go away. So people having faith is not the problem. Where we put our faith and what we do with our faith is the problem in our society today. When we see right here in what we just read, if you go back in the chapter before, Moses is talking to God, and God says, go prepare the people. Tell them to wash, clean themselves up, wash their clothes and all. I'm going to come down there and talk to them, and they're going to see me talk to you, so they're going to believe that I'm talking to you. These are the same people that God's already, he's led them out of Egypt. He done brought them across the Red Sea. They just fought a battle and were freed them. Have you say that word, if that's right? And they brought them through that. That's where Moses needed help lifting his hands. He brought them through all these things. They saw what he brought them through, but now he said, I'm going to talk to you where they'll know and believe you forever. And when he started talking to them, first thing he said is, put no other gods before me. I'm the Lord thy God, and no other gods come before me. He said, I'm a jealous God. When I look at that and study that, it's pretty easy for me to understand. Us husbands should really be able to understand that pretty easy. I want to be first, the man in my wife's life. I'm going to get pretty jealous if there's somebody else. That's pretty easy for us guys to understand. I'm not talking about, I don't have to be jealous, thank God for that. But I would get jealous. That ain't going to fly too good. Well, if God's wanting to be number one in my life and I'm putting something ahead of him, he's a jealous God, and that's not going to go with him either. He's not going to stand for that. He said he'll show mercy if we're keeping our commandments, and I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm trying to keep his commandments. I'm making mistakes because I am a sinful, fleshly human. But he's got mercy for that. But if I'm deliberately putting another God before him, he's a jealous God, and that's not going to stand. So then, if you drop on down to verse 19, it says, this is the people, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that you sin not. They told him, said, God came down with this thunder and cloud and all, and it scared them. God spoke to them in his cabin. He said, I tell you what, Moses, you talk to God, and then you talk to us. We'll talk to you. We'll hear from you, but let God talk to you. In verse 20 right there, Moses tries to tell them about Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of wisdom. Fearing the Lord is going to help you learn about him. It's going to draw you closer to him. But instead of having that fear and drawing closer to him, they back off and say, Moses, you talk to him and we'll listen to you. We fall guilty of that, y'all. We really do. I'm thankful for a pastor that prays, reads his Bible, talks to God and says, how can I help my people? And he comes in here every week and tries to do that very thing. But I'm also thankful that God will talk to me. I don't back away scared. I've had times in my life when God just spoke to my heart and I was scared and I backed off and said, y'all take care of that. I'm not going to listen. And when he called me to preach, that's the very thing I did. I backed off and said, I don't want to hear that. I'm scared to do that. You keep talking to him. You tell me what I need to do and I'll follow your directions. That's not really the design of God, though. God's going to speak to your heart, going to guide you, and you need to listen. But the people here, they back off. And so when they back off, we're going to see some things happen. Y'all turn with me to chapter 32. If y'all hadn't figured out by now, when I preach, we turn pages because I wish I knew every word in this book, but I don't, so we have to turn to them. But in chapter 32, starting in verse 1, here the people has backed off. Moses drew closer to God. The people backed away, but Moses drew closer to him. Moses went up on the mountain to talk to God, and the people's drawn away and said, you talk to him. So he's doing exactly what the people have said. They said, you talk to God and tell us. We're going to be over here. So that's where he goes. So basically, they're getting what they wanted. It's happening. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, that man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, Moses didn't bring you anywhere, God did, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When they backed away from God, they turned and did the very thing God had just told them not to do. He said, put no ever gods before me. Do not create no false gods with the graven tool or create any images. And as soon as they did that, Moses is gone. They get impatient and said, Aaron, make us a god. Make us one we can worship. The very opposite of what God had just explained to them to do. They heard it plainly with their own ears and turned and did the exact opposite. Our society, our nation is doing the very same thing today. It should sound very familiar. Jesus Christ rose up into heaven. He's seated on the right hand of the Father now. And we're impatient, wanting our answers, wanting things to happen right now, so we'll turn to other gods to get what we want. Which is exactly what he told us not to do, but we do it every day. And then we turn around and say, faith's a hard thing for me. Faith's not a hard thing for you. Where you're putting your faith is causing it to be hard for you. Because we're not trusting Jesus Christ. We're putting our faith in what he told us not to. And then we're saying, why ain't this working? You cannot use something other than what it was designed to be for and expect it to work. You can't drive a Volkswagen to Hawaii. It ain't going to work. Volkswagens ain't made to float. They don't go good across the ocean. You try to drive it over there, it's going to sink. You take faith that's supposed to be in Jesus Christ and put it in anything else, and it's not going to work. And you're going to be heartbroken. You're going to be standing there saying, God, why'd you let me down? God didn't. You did. You trusted everything except what he told you to trust. In verse 9 of chapter 32 right there, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Y'all, I know all about being a stiff-necked person. That was me. That's stubborn, headstrong, rebellious. That sounds just like the world I live in today. We're as stubborn as you could get. I know I was. I mean, I've seen mules that are a whole lot easier. You're not going to turn a stubborn, stiff-necked person. Stiff-necked means it won't turn. I didn't mean to look at Tony just then. It's all right, brother. You'll turn one day. But a stubborn, stiff-necked person won't turn. I got my eyes set on the way I'm going to go, and that's the way I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter what somebody tells me. I'm going to stay going that way, and I'm going to gripe and complain and say, why ain't this working? I'm going to fall down and whine, like Brother Jim says. I'm going to wipe out a place and have a pity party and say, faith's letting me down. This ain't working. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. But your faith's not in God. It's not working because you're not doing it. And the other thing, if you'll read on in this, but I'm going to move forward. But if you'll read on this, you'll find God starts to pour his wrath out on these people. They're stiff-necked. They won't turn. He said, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll raise you a good nation. That's what he tells Moses. Moses intercedes for those people and says, God, don't turn from that. Repent from that. Don't wipe these people out. Because they're going to look like he brought them out of Egypt just to bring them out here in the desert to destroy them. And so he intercedes. That's what Jesus Christ does for us today. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he's doing on the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for me and you. When we act like this and we're saved, Jesus tells God, said, that's one of mine. I paid for him. He's mine. And he turns us. But if you're here tonight, this morning, and you're not saved, that interceding's not happening. You've not been saved yet. Jesus is not up there interceding for you. And so you really need to pay attention to this morning. Where's your faith? Where are you putting it? If it ain't been put in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's in something that's going to fail you, and that interceding's not happening. And that's a scary place to be. I'm going to get to the point now. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a little hard to get to when the pages is falling out, but I'm thankful for that too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith's the main thing I want to really talk about this morning. I want to get this point across of faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith's having confidence that what you hope for is going to come to pass. But a Christian hope, don't get that word confused, because a Christian hope, that's not a wish. That's not something, boy, I really hope this happens. That's not what that is. A Christian's hope is a confident expectation of God's word and God's promises. We are sitting here waiting on what we know is going to happen. Amen. That Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back to get me one day. I know it with everything in me. It's not a wish. It's not me sitting dreaming. I know he's coming. I know he's coming because in John 14 he said he went away and he's coming back. He told me he was going to come back, and I know he's coming back. And through that faith, I can walk my life knowing he's going to come get me one day. I don't have to doubt or worry. Life may trip me up, sometimes get me down. Y'all know me. I may get to where I go down to the tree and cry and whine a little bit, but I don't doubt whether Jesus Christ is coming to get me or not. He's coming. I know he is. And I've actually went to the tree and said, come get me today. This day's rough. Let me just go now. Where I used to be afraid of that. The thought of dying used to scare me that I couldn't even sleep at night. But I've honestly gotten where I've learned what it's really all about to the point where I'm not afraid of it anymore. And the worse this world gets, my faith in me says, hey, I'm looking forward to that. Because I'm going to live in a city where they don't even shut the gates. There's nothing bad going to come in it. Everything's wonderful. There's nothing but peace and love. And any of this silliness I see is not going to be there. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't have faith this morning, and you think you're living a life that's pleasing to God, you're wrong. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there's no way these people in this world that stand and say, well, I'm good with God. Me and God's good. You know, I read my Bible. I do this. I do that. And living with absolutely no faith and hadn't really trusted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you are not pleasing God. It's not happening. He said it's impossible. And if God says something is impossible, guess what? It's impossible. I'll tell you a lot of things is impossible, and your Bible will tell you that nothing's impossible with God. But God just said this is impossible. There ain't no mixing words on that. So if you're going to live a life even pleasing to God, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to accept what he done. And doubting and questioning everything in the world is not showing faith. I've done it plenty of times. When you're walking around in this world doubting, questioning, and complaining, you're not showing faith to somebody else. That's me. That's not me showing somebody else that I trust God. So when I was doing that whining and carrying on down there, I wasn't showing other people faith. And then I wonder, how come I can't get through to these people? I haven't got anybody to buy into this. You're not showing them faith. That's why. I struggled. I went through that. And then today, you say, well, you know, you seem to have really came out of that rut you was in. No, I didn't. Y'all, I didn't come out of that rut. God just showed me how to be happy in it. We're still in it, but it's good. I'm glad I'm in it. I ain't never run in church, but so how do I get this faith? How do I grow this faith? How in the world am I going to make it what it needs to be? You know, I mean, it needs to be strong. It's real simple. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're struggling with faith and having trouble and saying, well, faith's hard for me, well, then I got a question for you. What are you listening to? That's the simplest question I can come up with through all this. What are you listening to? Let me just tell you some things God's word said, because it says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So that's what we're supposed to be listening to. So what are some of the things that God tells us in his word? Well, in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all of us. That's whosoever, anybody. Psalms 139:14 says, you were fearfully and wonderfully created. Here's a big problem today in our society, y'all. I saw this down at the ball game the other night. I'm going to say this, and I want it to be with the most love I could possibly say it with. I don't want to offend anybody, but I sat there at that ball game the other night, and I looked at six people that thinks God made a mistake when he created them. Six younger people. I sat and counted them, and the people pointed them out to me and stuff. And God didn't make no mistake when he created you. If he created you to be a man, to grow up, then that's what you are, and you thank God for creating you. If he created you to be a woman, thank God for that and grow up to be the woman he called you to be. You need to get up of a morning, look in the mirror, and say, thank God for creating that person right there. Read the word how you're supposed to live and be that person. But to walk around and try to change that and think God made a mistake, that's not going to grow your faith. And you're definitely going to struggle with faith because you're struggling with who God created you to be. You're not even accepting the very basic of who you are. That's not going to work. All that's going to do is drive you further away from God. And the further you get away from God, the harder it is for you to even know where God's at. It's not going to work. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's whosoever again. It doesn't matter who you are. Call on God, he will save you, and he will change you. But you thinking you're going to do it on your own is not going to work either. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God just told you he's never going to leave you or forsake you. If you listen to his word, those four little examples I wrote down, if you listen to that out of God's word, that sounds like a pretty important, great creation that God made that he loves and he's going to be there with from now on. That ought to encourage you to have faith in God. That's exciting. That's something that we ought to want to hear. Sadly enough, though, here's what happens when we listen to the world. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, I'm just paraphrasing this, he's seeking who he can destroy. You got an enemy, which is the devil, and he's seeking to destroy us. That's what he's here for. That's his job. That's what he's going to do. And he ain't going to get lazy on his job. He wants to destroy you. Y'all turn to Genesis chapter 3 with me. I want to show you the first words that he ever said to mankind. I just saw this the other day, and when I saw it, I thought, thank you. Thank you for something. You know, it was another preacher that said it, pointed it out. And I'm thankful that it was, but I still believe God showed it to me for a reason. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. First words he ever said was, yea, hath God said. He asked a twisted little question. He come to her doubting God. He asked her a question. He was trying to cause her to doubt God. If he can cause you to doubt God, he'll control your next actions. That's his job. But your Bible also tells you that he's a liar. Anything comes from him is a lie. But when you listen to the world, the world's going to do it. That's who's in this world and all this corruption, all this trash. That's who's pushing all that. And his sole purpose is to cause you to doubt God so he can get you to turn and trust something else. As soon as she doubted, then she partake of that fruit that she's told not to. That's what's going to happen to us when we start letting Satan get in our mind and start doubting us. Another thing Brother Jim said that I took to heart, I really liked, is I needed somebody to say it. If you don't want him to know about all your problems, don't tell him. Because when I tell him, he starts using them against me. And he causes me to start doubting. And he causes me to turn the wrong way. So I learned, keep your mouth shut. Just pray. Everything will be better. The sounds of the world, they're going to point you to everything except God. Turn on the news and watch it for a few minutes. It's going to show you all kind of corruption and problems and tragedies and all that. But it's not going to say, look to God. Up there at work, they got Fox News on the whole time I'm sitting there working. It drives me crazy. I'm like, man, this is terrible. This world we live in is terrible. And if I focus on that terrible world, that gets me down. But then I look to Revelation 21 and I focus on that world, and that's exciting. That's wonderful. That's streets of gold. That's gates of pearl. Not made out of pearl. One pearl. It's a gate. And it stays open. So you look at that news and it draws you away from God. But if you'll take God's word and you'll sit down and just read it, take you an hour a day and open this up and read it, and it'll draw you closer to God every time. Because you'll read stories of people that went through what you're going through and they made it through it. You'll read stories of people that was headed for hell that's going to heaven. They're in heaven now. You'll see where their failures, where it took them. You'll see where their faith in God, where that took them. And I promise you, Fox News, CNN, none of them's ever going to show you that. So in your life, listen to God above everything else. You might hear that other stuff, block that junk out and listen to God every day. Back to being, accepting God, having faith enough to accept who you are. Don't put your faith in men. Something I tell my daughters all the time. You're somebody's wife and you're not his. Last I checked, you ain't got married yet. So remember, you're somebody's wife and you're somebody's mama. Look in the mirror and respect yourself every day and let nobody take that away from you. Never. Don't put your faith in somebody. You put your faith in a guy, and I am one, and you're going to get your heart broke, and you're going to wonder, well, God, why'd you let me down? You trusted that guy. Guys, don't trust that girl. If she ain't got her heart and mind and truly in love with God, let her go. If God's first in somebody else's life, then you get closer to him. But he's got to be first. Then you're going to find a relationship you need. Me and Christy waited. We took Christian vows when we set our wedding. We've never got to watch our video, and I'd like to hear it. But I remember the preacher asked us, would we take the Christian vows? And we did. We wasn't in church. Hadn't been in church a bit. But we took the Christian vows, and I wish we'd applied them right then, that day. Things would have been so much better over the years. Thankfully, God never left us. He is there with us through all of it, because that's what guided us where we're at now. I just tell y'all, it's a whole lot better having a praying, loving wife that agrees and supports what you're called to do. But when I'm running from it, that was no good. I'm going to close with this. I've told you all about faith. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning. I want to show you a picture of true faith. That I just love this story. And it just shows me what true faith actually looks like. And it's in Mark chapter 5. If y'all want to turn there. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, starting there, it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that done these things. But the woman, fearing and trembling, Proverbs 9 and 10 right there, y'all, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman had an issue of blood. She had a problem for 12. We all had an issue of blood at one point in time. When we was born sinful into this body, we need something done. We need something done about that problem. And the blood of Jesus is what's going to take care of that. But this woman, she knew, and she had tried everything. It tells us she had tried everything physicians had to offer, and nothing helped. It actually just grew worse. So we're trying to do everything the world offers us, and we're not getting any better. We're getting worse. This thought crossed my mind as a friend of mine put a picture on Facebook the other day, and it was just a top of her hand with a Band-Aid on it. And it's a lady I used to work with over at Say Fleet. And so I said, hey, I sent an SMS, what's wrong? I'm going to pray for you. Just had to have blood drawn at the doctor. And that just got me. Mom's a nurse, so it's no big deal to see somebody had to give blood. But I thought, when you go to the doctor and you got a problem and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you and you need help with that problem, one of the first things they do is draw blood to see what's wrong with you. And I don't know if this excites y'all any or not, but it made me awful happy. I thought, that doctor has to draw blood to run tests to figure out what's wrong with me to try to heal me. Jesus Christ never drawed a drop of blood from me. He shed his for me. So it ain't about my blood. It's about his. He didn't have to look for what was wrong with me. He knew what was wrong with me, and he knew what I needed. Well, this lady, after she had tried everything and none of that worked, she heard about Jesus. And she decided, I'm going to put my 100% total faith in him. And I'm going to touch him. Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm going to get through this crowd, and I'm going to touch him. And that's all I'm going to have to do. I'm not going to go change first. I'm not going to do anything to me. I'm just going to go touch him. And she came through that crowd and touched him, and she was healed. And she knew it. As soon as she touched him, she knew it. He hadn't told her she was healed yet, but she knew it as soon as she touched him. She felt that she had been healed. Then Jesus turns around and asks, who touched me? And they said, look at this crowd. How are we supposed to see who got here and touched you? But he knew. He knew for a fact. Remember, Jesus don't ask questions looking for answer. He asks questions because he wants you to know the answer. So that question he asked was for her to say who it was. That's her public profession right then. And she got fear. But she used that fear the right way. Proverbs 9 and 10, that was the beginning of wisdom. She was fixing to learn more about him than you could ever teach her. Because she confessed to him, I touched you. I needed you. And she touched him. Y'all, that's true faith. She didn't go look for anything else. She got to Jesus. And she wasn't going to let nothing stop her from getting there. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that kind of faith pleased God that day. And that's the kind of faith that will please God today. If you're having trouble with faith, you're doubting, put it in God 100%. Come to him. Quit looking at everything else to help you. It's not going to work. None of that stuff. I've tried it. I'll just be honest with you, I've tried it. But I can tell you right now, that joy and that happiness and that peace inside that you're looking for and you're putting your faith in everything else, that won't work. You're not going to find that joy and happiness. You can't drink it. You ain't going to smoke it. You can't inject it. None of that. You're going to bend your knees and repentfully ask him for it, and he'll give it to you. But any other substance that you're trying won't work. But, you know, we have problem with faith. Well, I just really have a problem with faith. I'm not good with faith. But I knew that if I drank that, it would make me numb and it wouldn't hurt no more. So I drank it. I knew if I swallow this pill, it's going to make me feel good and I'm not going to be sad no more. So I take it. That's faith, but it's in the wrong place. Because when that temporary fix passes, things are even worse. But if you'll take that same hurt and pain to God and trust him as much as you did that other junk, and say, God, I need you to fix this, and then just sit down and wait for him to do it, he'll do it, and it'll be gone. And when he takes it away, it'll not come back. When it does come back, you just say, God, you took it away. Why is it on my mind today? And it's gone again. Y'all, I'm closing with that right there. That's the message God gave me to give y'all. That's all I can give you is what God gives me. I would like for y'all, Brother Jim's going to come. Y'all bring a song. Whoever's bringing the song, I'd definitely like. And the song that if y'all let me pick it, we're going to sing Just As I Am. Because that's exactly how that lady went to Jesus that day. That's how we need to come to him. Don't change yourself in any way whatsoever. Just come to him and say, I need change and I need it now. I've been trying it my own way. It ain't working. My family's not getting any better. We're getting worse. But while they sang, just ask yourself, are you ready to have that kind of faith today? Are you ready for you to be right and your family to be right? You ready to give God everything about you and leave it right here? I ain't a bit bashful right now. I'm pretty happy right now. And I'd give anything to get down and pray with somebody. Don't matter to me who you are. If you need to come up here, I promise you won't come by yourself, because I'll be right there.